Thank you for joining us on the Coaching Podcast. As part of the Sin Network, we are passionate about equipping church planters to live out the call God has placed on their lives. Join us as we talk through healthy coaching practices and why every church planter needs one. Here's your host, Dino Sinesi.
Welcome to the Church Planter Coaching Podcast. My name is Dino Sinesi, and I am the Director of Coaching for the Sin Network. And with me today, I have Jamie LaMotto.
What's up?
Clutch LaMotto.
No, don't go there.
Yeah. No, he's clutch in many ways. He was a college basketball player, and he got the nickname Clutch, and he's clutch for Church Planter Coaching for the North American Mission Board throughout the country. And with us also via Zoom, the miracle of Zoom, is Clint Clifton, Sin City Missionary for the Washington, D.C. area.
Church Planting Jedi.
Yes. Church Planter, Church Planter everything, and just love Clint and what God's doing through him. He is also the author of the book Church Planting Thresholds, which everybody needs to get a copy of that. It's good stuff. And we're going to reference that even more on a future podcast. But today we're going to talk about church planter coaching and just the basics. Jamie and Clint has an interesting relationship. Clint's the Sin City missionary. Jamie has actually started out as the champion in the D.C. area. So they're looking at church planters and church planter coaching from two different seats. But Clint, first of all, welcome, by the way. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys.
Very good. And tell us a little bit of your story. It's very interesting. You started church planting when you were a teenager.
I did. Actually, I was led to Christ by a pastor of a Southern Baptist church in a rural area. And he had just recently, before I became a Christian, he had just recently gotten really passionate about church planting. I won't tell you that whole story, but he had an event in his life, and it turned his ministry toward church planting. And he started in his congregation hiving off Sunday school teachers and Sunday school classes and throwing them around the community to become new churches. And I became a Christian in that setting. And I remember one of the first discipleship meetings I had with him at like 16 years old. He said, Christians plant churches because Christians obey the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is a call to plant new churches. So if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to learn to plant churches. And thinking, okay, sounds good to me. But then later going to seminary and Bible college and finding out, wow, that guy was crazy. You know,
yeah.
He is just absolutely an anomaly. Yeah. So that's how I cut my Christian teeth, was in an environment like that. He's still a great friend today. I talked to him yesterday, good mentor. He's a mentor to Jamie and a help to Jamie as well. So, yeah.
That is an amazing story, kind of church planting before church planting was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. His name is Danny Williams, by the way. I'll mention his name instead of leaving him nameless and faceless. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we hope people say that he was saying long before others were saying it. So very good. And tell us about Pillar Church.
Yeah. So when I was 24 years old, I was planning to go back to Florida and plant a church. I had earned my master's degree in music. I had an undergrad in music, and I was working as a church musician, and God began to call me to plant a church. And so I was going to go back toward my hometown to do that. And when I was in the process of getting ready to go do that, the Lord, through Philippians chapter 1, called me to plant at a military base. And I didn't know much about the military. I didn't want to really plant at a military base, but I felt like there was a bunch of strategy wrapped up in that, using the movements in the military to spread the gospel. And I just got increasingly passionate about that subject. And so, completely unqualified, 2 music degrees, I'm overweight, I don't look like I'm in the military, nobody would ever mistake me for a service member. Nonetheless, I felt like that was what the Lord was calling me to do. So I went to Quantico, the headquarters of the Marine Corps in Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., and started to plant a church when I was 24 years old.
So you didn't just pick any branch of the military, you chose the Marine Corps to plant a church.
Well, the Marines I know would say that the Marine Corps is the only branch of the military.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, that's very good. Just love the story. Love God pushing you out of your comfort zone And I didn't know you were a musician, by the way. Would you mind doing something musical for us for the podcast?
You know, my guitar is sitting right over there. We could have done that, but maybe next time.
We could wrap up with Kumbaya or something. That would be very...
No.
That's good. Maybe Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Yeah, just a few chords. Yeah. That would be good. Yeah. Well, and so... and just a second about the Praetorium Project too, because that's intriguing to me.
Yeah. So a church started in 2005. It's called Pillar Church at Quantico. It's at the Marine Corps Base Quantico. And in 2011, we had some Marines in our church that were starting to feel a calling to go plant a church at another Marine Corps base. Two different guys, two different Marine Corps bases. And we were praying that they would get orders to those bases in their Marine Corps career so that they could go plant churches there. And it just seemed so right. I mean, it just seemed exactly like why I planted the church. And we sat around talking about it. What if God could use us to use the natural movements of the Marine Corps to send guys to various places through on Uncle Sam's dime, and we could actually prepare them to plant churches before they got there? And the idea just captured us, really. And so, inspired originally to come plant the church by Philippians chapter 1 and the statement that Paul's imprisonment had worked out for the progress of the gospel because the gospel had become known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, we named the project the Praetorian Project, and we sought to plant a church at every Marine Corps base in the world. And there's about 12 Marine Corps bases, and we have churches established at 8 of them now, and we're planning to plant it one more. Or planning to plant it the rest of it.
That's amazing. That's a great God story. It's very, very encouraging. So I want to make the transition now to church planter coaching. And Clint, I'm going to ask you, because your perspective will be different from Jamie's, probably a little bit different from mine. So from your seat on the bus, why does every church planter need a coach?
Well, I only recently begun to believe that. Dino, a couple years ago, you and I met each other for the first time. And you challenged me with the idea that every church planter needs a coach. And I think I said some version back to you of, I don't really think that's true. and we discussed it over a steak dinner, I remember. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the conversation, I think I was at the place where I said, you know what, I'll try it out your way. And let's see what happens. And I've been proven wrong over and over again over the last few years as we have engaged in coaching, recruited coaches. Jamie's trained those coaches, and those coaches have over and over again hit it out of the park in terms of encouraging and blessing our church planters locally. So I really do believe in it.
Yeah. And how do you see the planters benefiting from these walk alongside coaching relationships? Because your system is robust, by the way, and you're doing some great training. You're giving some great information. You're equipping them well. So how does coaching come in and complement all that?
Well, how it comes in and complements it is that really I misunderstood what coaching was. And I'm the verbiage coaching just sounded a little secular to me. It sounded kind of, it sounded like a life coach. And to me, that sounds Oprah-ish. And so I wasn't really excited about that. Some of it was the verbiage, I think. Mm-hmm. But what it is now, if I were to describe it back, not using your language, but using my own, I would say it's accountability. It's mainly accountability. It's not even teaching or mentoring. It's accountability. And accountability is a good thing. I think if we'd have sat down over that steak that day and you'd have said, does every church planter need accountability? I'd have said, yes, they absolutely need accountability. So I embraced that in the beginning. I just didn't understand it to be coaching. So as you've taught me what coaching looks like or supposed to look like, it really, the essence of it is drawing out of the church planter the ambitions, hopes, desires, calling that God's put into him and helping him see it himself, and then holding him accountable to those things that the Lord's called him to do. And that has been fantastic.
Yeah, man. Hey, what were some of the things that helped, or stories that maybe helped convince you that every church planter needed a coach? not just what you heard, but like, what are some of the things that you saw?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the light bulb come on for church planters over and over again. I'm trying to think of a particular story. I think you want something particular, but where the interaction with somebody who's trying to draw things out of them essentially helps them to come to a realization about themselves and their work. Just recently, we had a church planter who needed to make a decision that everybody around him saw, and without being specific and kind of airing his laundry, it was a decision that everybody else around him saw, and he didn't see himself. And so through a coaching relationship and somebody asking the right kinds of questions, drawing those things out, he came to that conclusion himself. And, you know, there's nothing better than coming to a conclusion yourself, nothing more memorable than that, and how the Lord worked in your own chest to help shape, you know, how you see something. So that's been really amazing, watching guys come to their own realizations through coaching.
Yeah, and what I'd add to that too, Clint, is that in our sin cities, the systems in Washington, D.C. being a model system in a lot of ways, but the coaching is going to thrive best in an environment where the planters are getting other needs met. They're getting the training need met. They're even talking to peers, and they're getting information on best practices. And then it sets the coach up to not have to be necessarily the guy who's telling this planter what to do or how to do it. He's got some mentoring voices in his life. He's got some training. He's got some experience voices. Now the coach is going to come in and help wrap that around to a level of accountability for follow through and actually making some decisions. Because in the same sense, when you have a strong, robust coaching system, then there can be overload for the planter. If he doesn't have a place to go process and actually make some decisions with all the great information he's getting, then there's overload. But in the spirit of Matthew 18, I do have to point out that I think that Clint called me Oprah.
Yeah, that's true. He did call Dino Oprah. He didn't call me Oprah. He was calling you Oprah.
Yeah, and I've been called a lot of things, but that's a first. But thanks, Clint. I receive it.
Yeah,
okay. Glad to do that. So now I want to talk about you guys working together, and because you are a team for coaching. Clint, typically when you have a new church planter come into DC, how do you get him hooked up with a coach?
Oh, it's real simple. I just email Jamie and say, "Hey, Jamie, this guy needs a coach." And then I don't worry about it after that. And that's about how it goes. So yeah, my side of it is to encourage planters to receive that well when Jamie contacts them, and just to communicate with Jamie about who's new.
Yeah, see that, and that's ideal. And that this is the first place that with the Sin Network that we ever attempted to launch a coaching system, and it remains to be, since that was in 2013, Clint, and it remains to be one of the best. And a lot of that's based on your leadership, the people that you invited into the room, which we always talk about. Get the right people in the room. You got the right people in the room. One of them was Jamie Lamato, who became the coaching champion. So Jamie, give us your perspective on DC coaching. Why is it going so well?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has helped it to go well is that we have a Sin City missionary in Clint that encourages it. He's not just simply tolerating it, but he's encouraging it, and he's encouraging those guys to engage in that process. And then from the beginning, from that first group in 2013 to now, we have people who have received coaching who want to be a part of it. So the coached are becoming the coachers, you know, and so that's what's most encouraging to me. I know our next training that we have, 9 of the 12 guys that were signed up are recipients of coaching.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And when you talk about things like sustainability, which is so important on my end, Clint, is, and I know it's important to you too, but when I look at 32 Sin Cities, it's like, you know, we don't want to have a burst of a great few months of coaching, and then a year later, nobody knows what coaching is and nobody has a coach. We want to see something that God will use for years in DC to come to help planters. You know, everything we do is based on the belief that no planter should plant alone, that there needs to be that one-on-one relationship that abides with them. And so for both of you, I want to throw this last question out on this particular podcast. We're going to move to another one in a future podcast and talk about expectations. But what would you say to a church planter that's not sure he really wants a coach? He's just not sure about all. He's a little skeptical himself about all this. What is this Oprah stuff you're trying to get us to do? And so I want to start with Clint. What would you say directly to a planter who's not sure he wants a coach?
Well, I think every planter who doesn't want a coach doesn't want one because he doesn't understand it, in the same way that I didn't want to have coaching in my city because I didn't understand it. So I think the best thing we do is help to explain. Certainly as we get some reps under us, then guys have had good experience with coaching, they're going to talk about it positively, and that's going to help change the tide of the people's perception. But I can't wait on that, honestly. I mean, what I need is to clarify what it is. And so I talk about it almost always in terms of accountability and drawing out. I don't even use the phrase coaching because I feel like that phrase is so big that people can misinterpret it easily, just as I did. So I love that we call it that, and hopefully, you know, 5 years from now, we're not having this conversation and everybody understands what it is. But right now, it's still not the case. And when you say coaching, I think people assume somebody's going to scream at me and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Mm. And most of these guys have, as you do in your demonstration, enough voices screaming at them, telling them what they're doing wrong already. Mm-hmm. So they don't really need that. They need somebody helping them to process. I recently heard somebody say there's two kinds of people in the world. There's people who speak to think and think people who think to speak, you know, sort of the way we process. I speak to think guy. I talk out loud and I get my best ideas while I'm talking out loud. Mm-hmm. But some guys, a lot of guys I have to work with, they have to process and think things out. And so I think that even that difference in the way people think about things, sometimes all those speak to think guys, they need to be having conversations with coaches because they're going to get their best ideas and they're come to their best realizations in conversations about those sorts of issues. And if they never have those conversations, they never come to those realizations.
That's golden. Mm-hmm. Very good answer. Jamie, take a shot at that one too.
Yeah, I would just encourage them by telling my own story.
Yeah.
You know, I would tell them my own story that, you know, that 5 years into my church plant, I was discouraged and more than I was encouraged. And it wasn't until I had a coaching conversation that I could see the fog start to clear as to why I was discouraged and what the steps in the path were forward. And so they may not feel that right now, but at some moment they're going to. And so just telling them my own story and helping to build a relationship beyond simply just a coach. Like, they see a coach as a figurehead, and I want them to see as a coach as a relationship that they can have.
Very good. Hey, guys, I appreciate all that God's doing through you in the D.C. area, and it's been an amazing conversation that we've had today about coaching, and looking forward to a future podcast with both of you. So until the next time on the Sin Network, coaching podcast, keep coaching.
You have been listening to The Coaching Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. Are you a church planner in need of a coach? Visit namb.net/coaching to learn more.